episode, my mum, Cynthia, talks about the joy of the Lord she received when she fixed her eyes on Jesus, on the days leading up to the sight-saving surgery she went through, and how he came through for her despite the complications.
Hi, this is Cynthia. Thanks for listening in to episode 5 of my story. In the previous episode, I talked about the upcoming surgery, my fears and doubts, and how being plugged into a Christian community lifted my faith and helped assure me for what I would face. My husband had purchased a sound tube last year, which I thought at first was a bit of a splurge. Little did I know that I would be using it the most when I fill the home with Christian music to lift my spirits up. I bring it everywhere around the house. The playlist of music was growing by then, as family and friends share their favorite songs which have encouraged them through the different seasons of their lives. A Christian work colleague of mine who recovered from cancer last year shared her going-in surgery song by Chris Tomlin called "Whom Shall I Fear?" I thought, that is a cool idea. I wanted a going-in surgery song to prepare myself on the days leading up to the surgery. With issues centered around my sight, I became sensitive to any words or references to eyes. So when my sister-in-law introduced me to Phil Wickham's Living Hope album, I was immediately attracted to the song title called "Eyes Fixed on You." The song sings about fixing our eyes on Jesus, who walks through every situation with us. I'll read out part of the lyrics. I look up towards the sky, eyes fixed on you. Your presence is where I hide. Above every fear I rise, eyes fixed on you. And you'll never leave my side. Through fire or flood, through wind and the waves, I follow your voice through the darkest of days. Whatever may come, you carry me through. Oh, you are the one I choose. Eyes fixed on you. Eyes fixed on you. When I became visually impaired, I would close my eyes a lot. During my prayer time, I would focus my thoughts centered on the power of the cross. I pictured myself like a little child kneeling before the cross, my spiritual eyes fixed on my Lord Jesus, who has accomplished everything his Father has asked him to do, paying the ultimate price by sacrificing his life so that we who believe in him can be made righteous, have eternal life, and have the greatest advocate come live in us, the Holy Spirit. The day before the surgery, I played Eyes Fixed on You over and over again. It has such a good beat, and I found myself moving with the beat. Arms, feet swaying, and before I know it, I started dancing, and I felt like I was dancing with my Lord. There was so much joy that was injected into my heart, which sounds strange, right, to receive before a surgery. I mean, we dance when we're happy and celebrating. Going in for surgery was nothing to celebrate about, but I found myself dancing, stepping my feet in time with the beat, singing my heart out for the pure and simple pleasure of being in the presence of my Lord. In that moment, I identified with King David, dancing with all his might before the Ark of the Covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Truly, the joy of the Lord is my strength, as I place my hope and expectations in his promises. The day before the surgery, both me and my husband had a good night's sleep. We both woke up with God's peace and assurance. That morning, Any worries we had were gone. The heavy burden lifted. We were given pure, simple joy. When we got to the hospital, the entire process of checking in and being prepped for the surgery was done with empathy. The nurse registering me was so nice to me and even shared how her cousin, who suffered the same disease, although had a tough time, eventually got better. She encouraged me that I will be well again. When I was wheeled into the theatre, it was comforting to meet my surgeon and his assistant surgeon. My surgeon shook my hand and said, "We got to meet again, not in a cafe this time." And we spoke briefly about my condition before leaving me to the anesthetist and theatre nurse, who both did such a good job conversing with me about my trip to India, making me feel totally relaxed. And before I know it, I was breathing into an apparatus and was knocked out. The hospital is located next to a beautiful cathedral built in 1897. My husband waited for me there for hours, anxious, I'm sure, but praying for me. When I finally woke up drowsily 4 hours later, the first words I heard was from a nurse saying, "Cynthia, the operation has gone very well." I was so relieved to hear those words. My eyes were bandaged up and I had these two cylinder tubes sticking out of either side of my eyebrows for blood to drip into. I was a pretty horrific sight to see. When the bandages came off, I was so happy to see my husband. The foggy sight had slightly lifted. The nurses tested my eyesight every half hour to check whether there's any improvement. My eyelids started to swell up due to the internal bruising, and my eyes had these layers of cling wrap-like filament over each eye. It took more than 24 hours for the anesthetic to flush out from my body. I could not get out of the hospital bed. Although I felt good after the surgery, but once the anesthetic started to wear out, I began to feel a lot of pain around my face, especially around my eyelids. The nurses had to give me ice packs to place on top of each eye to relieve the pain. Most people who come into the hospital where I'm at are seniors. In the open women's ward I was in, elderly women were mainly there for their cataract surgeries. When night came, I wanted my husband to go home and get some rest so that he can come back early the next morning and we can speak to the doctors when they do their rounds. After my husband left, I found myself with a room full of grumpy women. They complained about the air conditioner being too cold and the wires poked in their hands were uncomfortable. One even blasted the volume of a TV show, which I did not like, Married at First Sight. And in that episode, the couples were arguing at a dinner party. Ironically, the TV show had the word sight, but it didn't appeal to me. Sorry to all the Married at First Sight fans. I'm just not a fan. I later prayed and said, "Oh Lord Jesus, please make them sleep in peace, for I'm in pain and I need to get through this night in peace with your help, Lord." Thank the Lord, by 10 p.m., the grumpy women were all sound asleep. By midnight, I was in a lot of pain. The Lord blessed me with a night nurse who has an angelic and calm voice. She came to check in on me regularly and provided what I needed to relieve the pain. I could barely see how she looked as my eyelids were so swollen, black and blue. It was a very long night, and I was so glad to see my husband when he came in just in time to help me with breakfast. The assistant surgeon came in later and was satisfied with my progress. He then removed the cylinder bits off my face and said, as soon as I can be mobile again, I'm good to go. By lunchtime, I was able to get out of bed, which was good. My face was a shocker, though. It looked as though I was a car accident victim. Out of shape, all bruised, eyes all swollen. I looked frightful. One of the ward nurses whom we got to know after the many rounds of intravenous steroid treatments kindly offered to wheel me to our car. I want to thank the nursing team at Ward 8 of the Royal Eye and Ear Hospital, Victoria. May God bless your caring hearts and great service to those in need. It was good to be back at home, sleeping in my own bed. I have an interesting household mix where I have both my mum and mum-in-law living with us. They are both widows. And yes, how we live together in peace will probably make an interesting podcast episode. I thank God that my mum-in-law was around before and during the surgery to help us with the kids and meals. My own mum was travelling during this time to visit her children, and when she heard about my condition, was already making her way home. I was still feeling fragile the few days after the surgery. On the third day of the surgery, though, I woke up after not being able to sleep well due to the immense pain on my face. My face had swelled up so much. I could hardly eat and was feeling cold, scared, and weak. By midday, I had a fever, which is not a good sign after a surgery. There was numbness from my head to my toes. I laid on my bed, weak and unable to move. My kids comforted and prayed for me while my husband rang for the ambulance, which later came to take me back to the hospital. My daughter's voice was what I needed to hear. She helped me to breathe, stay resilient, and be calm in my weakness. Family and friends came to know about it through my husband's text messages. All were praying for me. I believe in prayers. For there is power when we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with earnest hearts. The fever mysteriously left by evening. The hospital ran some blood tests and some neurological tests. They found no infection or anything that could explain the fever and numbness. Till today, the cause remains unexplainable. I just know it was a spiritual battle to take me down when I'm so weak bodily. But our Lord Jesus graciously protected and healed me from the fever. As for the numbness, that dissipated after a few days. Hallelujah. I've experienced nothing short of a miracle. My Lord Jesus is indeed with me every step of the way, ensuring I get through this safely. I wonder what miracles you have experienced yourself. As we acknowledge it, we declare God's many good works and remember His goodness in times of our trouble. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 64, verse 9, all mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what He has done. The works of God is too numerous to count. I think as we all pause, reflect, and share His goodness in our lives, we begin to experience His deep love and see His hand at work as we fix our eyes on Him.
Hope you've been inspired by Mum's incredible journey. Please subscribe and share this podcast to people you know who will be encouraged by her story.